On this, the semi-inaugural episode of Season 2 of the Formula Fun podcast, Caitlin and I discuss the impending Australian Grand Prix, or is it? We talk about viruses, helmet liveries, and, of course, Günther Steiner. So, yeah, as always, stick around. You're going to love it. Okay, so we're back again, 2 weeks in a row.
Hello.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Off to a good start for the season. We have racing this week, knock on wood. Actually, maybe I should knock on wood. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Hopefully knock on composite IKEA wood. Sorry, chair scooting in the podcast is probably not the best thing to record, but that's okay. So, yeah, we have racing this weekend. How are you feeling? Are you excited?
Yes, Australia. It doesn't feel real. I mean, it's hard to imagine. Well, especially with everything that's going on. But it is exciting. I'm getting excited, definitely.
Yeah, good. It feels kind of like Christmas is the obvious and cheesy analogy. I think I'm probably more excited for the beginning of the Formula One season than I get for Christmas.
I believe that.
Yeah.
But do not share that sentiment as I love Christmas with a deep passion. But I
you
guess
you are a Christmas person.
Yeah, big time.
We should start a Christmas podcast.
Oh my God. Hold on, guys. We're doing it right now.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop what we're doing.
Do a mashup.
Yeah, that would actually be cool. Anyway, but I'm sure you are probably more excited about Christmas than Formula One.
But Australia is good too. Because I'm looking forward to, like we touched on the last podcast, like the human drama and like what's going to happen. And it's hard for me to speculate so much, but I'm excited to see what actually
it
transpires.
It begins to unfold, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so now it will begin to unfold. Well, here is your platform for wild speculation, so feel free to speculate.
Yeah.
And I feel like Australia is a cool place for it to begin, too. It's kind of like exotic. It's far away. The race is at midnight, which in a way like kind of makes it feel cool.
Because
I mean, it's not at midnight.
They should do it at
midnight. Then it'll be a normal time. That
here.
Would be neat. That would be cool. Midnight race for whatever reason.
Everything's opposite down there in that hemisphere.
Right. The toilets flush the opposite way.
Black is white. Up is down.
But
it's Danny Ric's race.
Danny Ric's race. And I was reminded by watching the Netflix documentary Drive to Survive
Harder.
Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I had forgotten this, but you remember last year, very first race with Renault. How's it going to go with Danny Ric? New team, all this positive, you know, he's trying to be positive. He's trying to fit into this new team. There's a whole episode about it and everything. Mm-hmm. You can imagine how awkward that would be just in general. It's like having a new job, new workplace, new environment, new people. You're all, you know, let's go get them, guys. New team, new me, new year, new me. And then do you remember what happened in the Australian Grand Prix?
I do not, but
I know
it sound
I didn't
good.
Either, but on the opening straight,
Danny
Ric drifted off into the grass and boink, tore off his wing. And so
the car malfunctioned?
No. He just drifted off the track.
Oh, he just messed
onto
up?
The, I mean, he kind of was forced off, but he was also just kind of taking like an aggressive line down the straight and took a risk. And so his like right wheels went onto the grass, and just because the grass is taller than the racetrack, it caught his front wing and tore his whole front wing off.
Oh God.
So he only traveled like 100 meters in a Renault before he had to pit to replace his whole front end.
Oh no.
And then was immediately in last place, which if you, you know, believe in portents of, you know, harbingers of things to come. I think we do.
A little bit. We get a little spooky.
Charge crystals and light candles.
novice level.
But, you know,
we dabble.
I couldn't help but watch that and be like, you know, if I were a superstitious man,
yeah,
I would be like, wow, my very first race in Reno and I go 100 meters in terra. Anyway,
right. But that's, I mean, partly his fault. It's not like my car, sure, like collapsed
right
underneath me and right I was just like partially rolling down the road holding a steering wheel.
Right, like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, stuff. That's what I was where your trying butt to convey.
Is scooting along there.
Yeah.
So we are already on a tangent, which is fine, yeah, because we can do that. It's our podcast. We can talk about whatever we want. But obviously the news and why I knocked on wood to begin the podcast, are we going to have a race this weekend, is like, if we're going to be topical, we have to talk about the coronavirus
because it's not just news. Anyway, I know.
Exactly. So I was reading right before the pod, the latest news, as in like literally within the hour, is that Australia has suspended all travel from Italy.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, the team's all here.
I think.
Now, right?
I think. You know, you have to wonder.
Get out of there.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's Wednesday already in Australia, yeah, right? And so you have to think that they are already there.
Mm-hmm.
But man,
you got to think, but their families are home. I mean, it's like, it's still got to affect people's morale or people, you know, will they really all be engaged in the race with all this like life or death pandemic, yeah, stuff going on.
How much
on
do they actually care?
Right.
Yeah, that's a good question. I honestly didn't even think about that because I was so worried about just the whole logistics of the race actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good point, especially the teams from Italy, yeah, obviously, which are Ferrari, AlphaTauri, mm-hmm, or however you say their name, whatever they're
Wait,
called.
Wait, they're Toro Rosso. Like Red Bull? Red Bull's Italian?
Well, the team was originally called Minardi, which was an Italian team, Menard? And Red Bull just bought them to make them into their
and kept,
sister
kept
team.
Their stuff
base
in
is in
Italy.
Italy?
Okay. Right. I didn't know.
Well, hence Toro Rosso.
Right, so, yeah. That was a good decision.
And which is silly. They should still be called Toro Rosso. Yeah. It makes whatever.
That's what I mean.
We can, you know, we can harp on that later. But so AlphaTauri, which I think is how you say it, also based in Italy. And then, as I was mentioning earlier, over dinner, salmon salad.
He made it for us.
I made it. You know, quote unquote made it. Pirelli,
the
providers of the tires, are also based in Italy, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
And then, practically speaking, Ross Braun, who is the chief, he's the guy in charge of Formula One, basically. Mm-hmm. He used to be in charge of Ferrari back when Michael Schumacher drove for Ferrari. So that's just kind of like worth knowing. But
yeah,
he was kind of the Toto Wolff of Ferrari back in the day. He has said that there will be no championship races if even a single team can't show up.
Mm-hmm.
So they might still have races, or they might still go on with the show to some extent, but they won't count championship points.
So what do they do? Why race?
We haven't crossed that bridge. I don't know. I mean, just for the spectacle, just for the entertainment, just for the sponsors. I mean, the sponsors pay so much money for the exposure.
Like
I mean, literally just
show,
to watch.
I mean,
it is a
puppet
show. I mean, Formula One's already a puppet show.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I mean, it's not a real...
Yeah, right. Like a championship, like what you get, like a cup.
I mean, is Carlos
something.
Sainz going to win the championship this year? No.
No.
Is George Russell
going to
win the championship
this year?
Like,
he might get a podium
if it rains
and everyone crashes.
In fact, that was on my list of notes, was just Grosjean in general kind of being the center of news for various, mostly not positive reasons, but Grosjean said that Formula One is like asking Roger Federer to play with a ping pong paddle
okay,
is the word I'm looking for right now.
Like he's Roger Federer and his car is the ping pong paddle?
I don't know if he was saying he's Roger Federer. I don't think he'd be like that arrogant, but he's saying like, obviously, and there was more to it. He was like, we wouldn't call tennis a sport if they showed up with different rackets, or one side of the court was bigger and the other side of the court was smaller.
Oh, yeah.
And,
it's totally unfair.
Like, Formula One is a... His point was Formula One is more like a show than it is like a sport.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
For now.
That's how our society is.
Yeah, fair is what you pay to ride the bus, Grosjean.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think you might have a point, but yeah, that's a good thing.
No, I have, my heart goes out to Groshan, actually, and we can come to that in a little bit. Dad of three. But yeah, dad of three, as his bracelet lets everyone very clearly know.
Like a cool, low-key kind of way. Instagram,
right. So coronavirus, I mean, obviously this is a huge deal. I mean, in other news, if you're getting this news from this podcast, which if you are,
don't do that.
Probably not a huge Formula One fan, but here's the news anyway. The Bahrain Grand Prix, it will be held behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So no fans will be in the seats for the actual racing of the cars. They're still going to air it on TV, all the, you know, everything else is the same. It seems
like
it wouldn't
make too much difference for a sport like Formula One. It's not like they're really, I mean, excuse me, they do autographs and stuff before they race, but while they're racing, right. They don't know if people are there or not. They're not aware of that, right?
They can hear the crowd loud, and yeah, they talk about being able to hear the crowd.
Yeah, I guess Lewis, the cars aren't that loud.
Home crowd adds a tenth. And
Lewis says a lot of things.
Yeah, he does, and he feeds baby kangaroos and stuff, which is his most recent post.
That's nice.
It's better than garbage islands and
whale
slaughtering.
Those are important, but.
Yeah, so Bahrain GP, it's an easy one to cancel because Bahrain, the Grand Prix, is funded by the government. Because they're like a dictatorship. I don't want to say anything about Bahrain that's bad right now, but they're not exactly like a country.
They're just we want a Formula One race. How much money? Bought
one. Right, okay. Exactly. Yeah, so their government funds the race.
Okay, so it's not
they're not going to lose any money. It's all
spectators just come for free?
Well, they pay the government. I heard some numbers. No, they don't come for free. They buy tickets and everything, but it's all just channeled through the government. The government is the one who puts on the race and probably profits from the race or whatever. Whereas Silverstone.
Mm-hmm.
That's a private, entity.
All the other races are private,
I don't know about
right?
all the other races. Okay. I just don't know. Literally don't know. But Silverstone has to sell tickets. Otherwise, they just won't have the money to pay the FIA for the right to race there.
Well, they should waive.
That's a major topic of discussion too. They should make it easier for Silverstone to host the races and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a major, we're encroaching on really intricate discussion of Formula One finances. Let's and stuff. We can just table that.
Yeah. Let's not.
The difference is over the course of a weekend, Silverstone, and I'm estimating roughly, but over the course of a whole weekend from practice to qualifying to the race and everything, Silverstone as a entity would attract half a million people probably.
Yeah.
In and out of their gates. Whereas Bahrain attracts 25,000 total.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And so they're not losing a whole lot, especially because they already have the money from the Bahrainian government. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And so anyway, they're not losing a lot.
But I mean, that's okay. That gets us to the second race. And then, but after that, it's we're mired and I mean, the EU is not looking great right now
and everything's
shutting down. And I mean, just going back, I don't know, just going back to the COVID-19 and I mean, it's all roads lead to
Rome.
It does kind of. Yeah.
Literally.
And
Northern Italy.
Europe and and I just can't fathom. I mean, but it's just the Formula One powers that be. I mean, it's just there's so much money in it. It's you might not make money this year, but just foot the bill. If you want this to keep going, throw money at it and let it keep going and don't count on spectator income.
Yes. And so And that is probably the kind of thing that we're looking at where we will have some races and some races we won't. Yeah. We have to be realistic about that at this point. They've already postponed China. MotoGP, the motorcycle racing equivalent of Formula One, has already canceled their race in Austin. or postponed it. I forget which one, but like, you know, if they're canceling races in the United States because of this fear, that goes to show just the level of concern they have for their travel restrictions and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so you're right to some extent that they'll say, well, let's just keep throwing money at this and keep having our races and keep putting a product out there that people will consume. I'll consume it. I'll watch it. I'll, you know.
Yeah. We've decided to watch them via the television.
Right. Year. We won't go probably to any races this year, but, the real question then becomes like a team like Haas or Williams even with such a storied past, can they survive a year like this? Because Haas doesn't make money in Formula One. You know, they spend money to be in Formula One.
Yeah.
And if they're going to spend this entire season just hemorrhaging money only to race like 10 times and come in like 19th and 17th and 16th and 20th and 18th and then just be like, Gene Haas has already said that he can kind of take it or leave it at this point, which is in my show notes. So I want to talk to you about that because Haas is, you know, we're a Haas family or whatever, but well
you're a Haas.
Haas dad.
There's no child.
We do not have a child, just to be clear.
He just calls himself.
So, I mean, obviously just huge news. I mean, and at this point it's like kind of just, you almost literally have to kind of, like I did earlier, just update the computer.
Yeah.
Every hour.
Yeah.
Minute by minute changes. Because it's changing so fast and it's sad, but the Australian Grand Prix is Sunday and I still have this like weird, sad feeling in my stomach that we're not going to watch racing this weekend.
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah. So.
Well, it'd be, if so, it'd probably be for the good of,
for the health and safety. We'll see.
Gosh, who knows? Every day on this planet is just a wild ride.
Right. So it's weird to go talk about like this historic pandemic that's like threatening the lives of people all over the world and then being like, Ferrari had two fuel flow sensors on there.
That's good though.
So I'll just touch on some of the other big news of the off season, and then if there's other things you want to kind of talk about. So Ferrari was cheating last year.
Whatever.
It's kind of the story. But this story is, it won't go away, which is kind of becoming a big deal because the FIA, which in the past used to be known as Ferrari International Assistance. I mean, obviously, that's like not what it's LOL, really called, right? Like, joking. As an epitaph or whatever the word is. Sobriquet. Is the word. A nickname.
Yes. Sobriquet. Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, go
anyway,
on.
Anyway, whatever. Words. Did this lengthy investigation into Ferrari's cheating. And it had to do with their fuel flow. Sensors, which is just like, who cares, right? Like, I mean, I could kind of describe like, it, but they were, one fuel flow sensor has to be regulated by the FIA and one fuel flow sensor can be regulated by the team. But if you like plug an extra one on there, you can like trick the sense, whatever, you know, they were playing games with their fuel flow sensors, which can make the engine more powerful.
Okay.
And so the FIA did this investigation. But what they came out with was like, I'm going to summarize here, even though I do have exact quotes, but it basically like was like, we can't prove they weren't cheating.
All right.
But like, or we, and everyone was like, that's not good enough, you know, like brush your hands off. And this quote I did think was relevant because it's like, this is why they're known as Ferrari International Assistant. To avoid the negative consequences of a long litigation, especially in the light of the uncertain outcome, blah, blah, blah. It is in the best interest of the championship to enter into an effective settlement agreement.
Let's all pretend this never happened.
Exactly. So they basically were like, Ferrari can't prove they weren't cheating. We can't prove also that they weren't cheating. So we'll all just like, okay, we'll agree to like, just let it slide. But here's why this won't go away is because every other team on the grid that's basically not a Ferrari team, mm-hmm. like save for Haas and Alfa Romeo, literally sued the FIA because they were like, that's not good enough. This team mm-hmm. was cheating, and you can't, like, we can't prove he murdered anyone. He can't prove he didn't murder him, and we can't prove that he did. So we're just going to agree to, innocent, like, just let it go. Proven
guilty, dog.
But your job is to prove him guilty. So, like, prove him guilty. Or anyway, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So now it just won't go away.
Well, whatever. And then Mercedes has, like, a magic steering thing, and no one cares. So
people
whatever.
Care. People care. People will probably protest that, too. They just have to wait till the official race weekend to protest.
And I guess they're just the other powerful team, so.
Right. And Ferrari gets not undue negative press because they have had so much assistance from the FIA in the past. Like, nobody's, they've cheated in the past, you know, like they've openly had unfair arrangements with the league's governing body. And so
it's not like everyone cheats.
Everyone pushes the boundaries of the regulations for sure.
But Ferrari is like,
but Ferrari egregious. Has like the assistance of the league in pushing those rules. They even have the famous veto power.
They're the only ones.
The only team.
Wow, that's
where if there's good. A new rule, Ferrari can just veto it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, why be anything but a Ferrari fan?
Because of all of these things.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because you're just like a spoiled just, brat and you still can't win.
It just seems easy to me, you know. It's just,
I know, it's too easy. And they're still not
but
even
but they're still
the,
not
the
best.
Second
yeah.
best. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that's kind of why the story won't go away. Not to mention, because like we just mentioned, because they're still not the best, even though they were cheating. Like Red Bull specifically has sued for money, like damages, because Red Bull arguably would have finished second in the championship, not third, had Ferrari not been cheating for half of the year.
Yeah,
and so
maybe.
They're like owed money. And that's
who
like,
who knows though?
Well, right. And so they'll have to hash it out. And so that's, anyway, so that leads us into the real question of Ferrari is if they were cheating and that's why they were so fast. Now that they're not allowed to cheat, they show up to testing
like, oh,
and they're
sorry,
like,
guys,
slow.
Sorry, we're not.
Yeah.
We're not going to cheat anymore. We didn't know.
And so now you have Sebastian and Charles saying that they're like not happy with the car.
Oh.
The car is noticeably slower. They don't really know why. They can't get the car to operate like they want it to work. And like things are looking like not good for Ferrari.
Well, you never know until you actually get out on the, is it tarmac? Asphalt?
Tarmac, I guess.
Like an airplane, whatever. Anyway, yeah. You never know until you start.
Until you get to Melbourne.
Melbourne. Mm-hmm. Is that where the race is?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
It's a few miles south of Melbourne. Cool. Albert Park. Well, I'll give you the rundown here in a minute.
Okay.
Don't you worry. And so that kind of dovetails, I think is the saying.
Okay.
The cheating dovetails into the story of their 2020 car because now their 2020 car is like drastically underperforming.
Drastically?
I mean, to the extent to where they look maybe third best. And like they should
who's
be challenging.
Maybe third. Who are they butting up against?
Maybe Racing Point.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They're talking about like
don't
Racing Point
this.
Having comparable. I know, and I don't think that's realistic.
No,
I think everybody's
that's
blowing
just everything
this out of proportion.
Shenanigans right now. I just feel like
yeah,
we just don't know.
We don't know, but what we do know is that Mercedes look clearly ahead of the game again.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because of their fancy steering system. Do you want to try to explain that for those of us who weren't here last week or who don't
well,
listen to the
I wanted to say the
podcast?
French fries and pizza in the skiing, but you said that was not accurate.
No, it is accurate, but instead of pizzaing in, they pizza out.
Okay, they pizza
so,
out,
yeah,
and that
go
makes
for
them.
It.
It, oh, yeah, something. Okay, so the turns. When they turn, they want to have the wheels be one way. And when they're on the straights, they want them to be the other way for grippies and zoomies. But,
right.
You know, the tires just say one kind of way. But then
right.
Mercedes has a steering wheel that has buttons or some sort of mechanism
mm-hmm.
that isn't a button. I don't even know. That makes the tires shift for when they need
straight line speed,
grippies or
zoomies. Right. Yeah. You did it.
Boom.
That's pretty good. Right.
Pretty good.
Dual axis steering, they call it.
Das.
Das. And of course, all the jokes about the German article Das and like Das ist
gut. They just write like themselves. Whatever.
They write themselves. We'll just like, let's leave that aside because I don't. As a German speaker and Germanophile, I don't want to dignify those jokes.
Oh, hush. It's great.
With my attention or my time.
What's that song?
Du hast mich.
Yeah. What are they saying?
They say different things because it's a play on words. So, like, du hast with two S's, mit zwei S, means you hate me. Du hast mich. But du hast mich with one S means you have me, as in you're going to finish the sentence with a past participle. So, like, you have broken me, or you have eaten me, or you have me. Right.
Okay.
So sometimes they say, du hast, du hast mich, like you hate me.
Oh, yeah.
And then sometimes they say, du hast mich geboh, you know, yeah, and you have me. So they're actually saying two different things.
Okay, but, I see. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, so, right. And so the DOS system moving from Ferrari to Mercedes, another major storyline of the winter, the dual axis steering. Most people think that it'll be a tire temperature thing more than like a just overall speed, that it's going to make their cars just like wicked way faster than everybody.
What if it like wears out their tires like crazy?
Well, we don't know yet. We'll just have to. That's one of the cool. That's you think I
it
think. Might,
or maybe it would wear it less. I don't know.
That's the idea. They'll wear them less and they'll be able to control the temperature better. Oh. So if we need them to be cooler, we can cool them down. If we need them to be warmer, we can warm them up, basically. And we have a little bit more control over that, which extends to longer stints on the same tire before we have to come in for pit stops.
Mm-hmm.
It means I can push harder for longer.
But they'll only have this for this year and then it's gone. And
then it becomes illegal. Or then everyone a regulation did. Has been written to make this particular iteration of this version of the thing illegal. So they might be able to figure out a different way to do it. But yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Next year it says the steering wheel can only turn this way, like a regular steering wheel, and not pull in and out like a jet plane.
Okay.
So Mercedes looks really good, has that dual axis steering thing that is... I think the coolest thing about it is that's just what's so cool about Formula One is that it's kind of old school Formula One is that a team would show up and be like, our car has a big old fan on the back of it, or our car has six wheels and maybe it'll work and maybe it won't.
It's innovation.
Which is kind of the point.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it seems weird to be like, oh, that's too good. You can't do that.
Or just our car is a different version of last year's car and all the cars look the same. And like, that's like kind of what we're moving towards, which is why like old school Formula One fans are like, that's not the point of Formula One. The point is like for Brabham in the 70s to show up with a freaking fan on the back of their car, like a boat from the bayou.
Well, maybe, you know, was like, it like back then you could innovate and you wouldn't have to pour like trillions of dollars into it, but now it's like a money game more than
I think
anything.
You probably poured the equivalent of 1970s
okay like
trillions
that was
of dollars
the, okay,
yeah I mean
okay.
It's
I
always
wondered
been
if
a money
like the
thing,
technology
yeah.
is so sophisticated now that it's not like, okay, we're gonna weld this fan on the back. It's like,
well,
we're
sure
gonna,
no, you're right,
you know,
yeah, just
have
more, you have
like
more opportunity to spend more money now,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
right, which is why there's a cost cap coming in for 2021 too.
And that, yeah, I like that, I think.
Yeah, and that's another rabbit hole we could go down, is like, what's the future of Formula One? Is it innovation and challenging teams to catch up to Mercedes, or is it intentionally handicapping everyone so that
Romain Grosjean doesn't feel left behind?
Like, I was going to do a German accent, but he's not German, is he? He's French. So I'm playing with the ping pong paddle.
Yeah.
I am playing with the ping pong paddle. That is my Roman Grosjean accent. So speaking of Mercedes, Racing Point just copied their car. That's another big news. I feel like we should rehash. That's kind of a big deal.
If you didn't listen to episode one.
If you didn't listen to episode one of the season, which I don't blame you.
Which you assuredly did not.
So Racing Point has a very close technical relationship with Mercedes now. They do what is known in the industry as they borrow their rear end which is kind of funny sounding, right? Beavis. The rear end of a Formula One car is the huge thing that houses all the gears.
And what? The back the, part.
Yeah, and then that attaches to the wheels. And so it's a significant part of the car.
Is the engine in the front?
It's kind of in the middle. It's right behind the driver.
Okay.
So the gearbox attaches to the engine. Okay. So you get the engine from Mercedes. You snap the gearbox directly onto the engine.
I see, okay.
And then the gearbox points out into the wheels, the rear suspension. So gearbox and rear suspension are all one unit.
Yeah.
And so if you have engine, gearbox, rear suspension, that's all manufactured by Mercedes, you're like, half of our car is already a Mercedes, mm-hmm. so we might as well make the other half a Mercedes too.
Mm-hmm.
And so Racing Point did that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, aside from going into all the like technical mumbo jumbo, what's interesting to me about this is that Racing Point has always been what every small team wanted to be. They had very little money, but they finished like fourth 3 years in a row, I think.
Really?
If I get that right. Back in the day. Not recently, but back when they were Force India. They've always been like bang for your buck, the best team. Really, literally. They get more out of their car for the amount they spend than any other team on the grid, even Mercedes. Like, Mercedes just spend so much money and they get blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, Racing Point even has a quote themselves that said, other teams have been naive to think that we won't be awesome, basically. Mm-hmm. Because look at how awesome we already were.
Mm-hmm.
And now we just have bukus of money. Like, look at what we were achieving when we had no money.
Yeah.
And now we have a ton of money. And we showed up this year with a brand new car right off the bat. Like, mm-hmm. we've never been able to do that before. Where we just went from 1 year to the next year and we didn't, like,
mm-hmm.
evolve our car. We were just like, scrap it, totally new car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, it's a Mercedes replica, whatever, but it's a brand new car.
Yeah.
And they have brand new facilities, brand new offices, brand new everything. Oh, so I think it's like they are a sleeping giant with all this Stroll money
mm-hmm.
and Mercedes technical partnership.
Mm-hmm. Dark horse.
Pink horse. Yeah. So that's, I won't ramble on too much about Racing Point, but it's a major story, especially because other teams have, you know, taken this route, like AlphaTauri and Haas, and like copied mm-hmm. other teams, and we've seen varying levels of success.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Racing Point doing it kind of just like unabashedly, unashamedly, like we're going to just straight up make a Mercedes car.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of shame.
No, I guess not.
I wouldn't think.
When you have billions and billions of dollars, I feel like shame is probably not something you spend a lot of time
having. Your brain like synthesizes emotion.
You can outsource that.
Yeah, right. I have a servant that feels shame for me.
The Guatemalan maid that feels all my shame.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else? So speaking of other teams that imitate other teams, Haas.
Mm-hmm.
I put in our notes here that Gene Haas has said, now, I'm scared a little bit because I don't know that we're going to see Haas around for too much longer.
Yeah, he's over it.
I think he's getting kind of over it. And so I was speculating that a little bit. I think I speculated that on our last episode. But since the last episode, he has come out and said publicly that the early season will determine our future beyond 2020. So he has straight up said.
Oh, because you probably have to decide before the season's over.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Pull the plug.
So he's said things like, I'm waiting to see how the season starts. If we have another bad year, that would not be favorable. We did 5 years. That was a test. We were going to do this for 5 years, see how it goes and evaluate it, then decide if we want to go forward. I'm not saying we won't be back. It has to be evaluated. To do it for another 5 years, though, that would be a big commitment. So those are Gene Haas.
So this is the year
words.
Five.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just tired of hemorrhaging money, I guess.
Right. I'm tired of babysitting Gunther Steiner and Roman Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen, probably.
Just that goat rodeo.
can I rant about Gunther Steiner?
Go for it.
Okay, so this is another thing I'm going to carry over from last week's episode, assuming that you guys didn't listen to it.
He hasn't posted it, so.
Yeah. Well, by the time you're hearing this, hopefully I will have future present or whatever, future perfect tense, whatever. So if you follow Formula One at all, you've probably picked up on the fact that, like, people really love Gunther Steiner,
mm-hmm.
who is the Haas Formula One team boss. He's the Christian Horner of Haas. And people really like him because he's, like, irreverent and he curses a lot and blah, 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 blah. But here's the thing. And I'll try to keep this short because I am rehashing this. But, like, my perception of Gunther Steiner is just the opposite of what most people's is. And I'm struggling with that a little bit because, like, a lot of people are like I listened to a podcast today, and I won't say what it is, not for a positive or negative thing. Just, I don't really know how that works on the whole podcast sphere, but one of the hosts suggested that Gunther Steiner should have his own Netflix series. And I don't know if that was in jest or serious, but that just goes to show that he's that kind of popular. And to me, he is just a huge goofball.
Yeah, he's a goof.
He's a major goof. And, like, one of the things to me is that he's famous for cursing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
I guess. I don't know.
He is. I mean, that's yeah. kind of the thing. He curses a lot. And he's, yeah, yeah, he's irreverent. And he's got a potty mouth. And temper, he makes fun of Roman Grosjean, which I'll get to in a second. Yeah. Yeah, which isn't cool. And
oh, yeah, we're not.
Well, that's okay. Whatever. And for now. And, but the thing is about his cursing is that, it's just my opinion, whatever, but it's my podcast, so I get to have, that's why I have a podcast, is he's bad at cursing.
That's a funny thing to get mad about.
But it's what he's famous for, is that he's like not, he's what my dad would say is he's got bad BS.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, some people have good BS and some people have bad BS.
Well, he's
like
speaking Gunther, in a second language.
He is. And, but, you know, take that into account and whatnot. Like, when I lived in Germany and I was speaking in German, I wasn't going to try to be the class clown. Because humor wasn't my strong suit.
Yeah, but
German.
You're like a tourist, like someone coming and living there and just kind of learning and... You know, and this is like a person who like operates his entire professional life like in English and is like getting filmed.
Yeah,
and
well,
stuff.
He speaks a lot of German,
but
and
isn't
Italian
like English like the
lingua franca?
Lingua franca of Formula One.
Yes, I'd say yes. But
you know what I mean? I just it's a little
plenty
different.
Of people speak. I mean, he has Italian citizenship. He probably speaks Italian. He speaks German. You know, like he can speak German to Toto, and there's. You know, and he has opportunities to speak mm-hmm. in his native language too. But,
yeah.
And I'm sure it wouldn't be surprised if he speaks a little French and can speak French to Romain or whatever, you know. And like,
yeah, everyone.
Toto speaks like perfect French too.
Of course, he does.
I know, he's so amazing. He's like, on Drive to Survive, there's a scene where he's just speaking like fluent French. And you're like, come on, man.
Get out of here.
Get out of here with your French. Anyway, so. Yeah, that's my take on Gunther Steiner is that he's very awkward and not funny.
Yeah, it's painful to watch.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah, it's like watching a guy try to be really funny and like do it in a way where he's like, I'm not actually like this. I just know people like it when I behave like this. So it's an affectation.
I mean, you think?
That's the way it appears to me. I don't know because I'm just taking it.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't see this season, but I saw last season's the first season, and I mean, it seemed like he was just like losing his temper and like it's pretty off the cuff. It wasn't like contrived to me, but maybe it's like
people say
dialed up.
Yeah, it's dialed
up.
Yeah, and I have heard people say that about like journalists from the paddock and stuff have said that Gunther kind of leans into his character a little bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised. Probably hard not to.
Christian Horner apparently has the same reputation for being like overly dramatic in front of the Netflix cameras. But Christian
they
Horner,
love it, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's cheesy, but he doesn't. He's not cheesy in a way that like where I'm like I just don't like you. Like
the problem with Gunther,
yeah, go ahead,
is that he's mean. That's
right,
the problem.
Right,
he's a bully. It's like his humor. He's not like having witty one liners or like little pithy remarks. He's just like saying like barbed remarks towards his like drive team.
Yeah, and people who like aren't in on it. Yeah. Right? Like yeah, I was saying yeah. to you earlier, like dudes, and I suppose women too. Of course, I've never been a woman, so I don't know, but like dudes can like break each other's you know what or whatever, right? And like balls. Dudes can like pull each other's leg and be like hard on each other, you know, like, but it takes like two to tango, and you like have to be in on it sort yeah. of. Like, I have a feeling that Roman is just like not in on it. Yeah. Like, he doesn't think any of this is funny. He like Roman and Gunther like aren't buddies yeah. off camera. Like, they walk in front of the camera and Gunther's like, oh, this is an opportunity for me to make fun of Roman. Yeah, so I'm yeah. going to do I it know, because like, it's like good so for my mean. Reputation. It's like people will like me more if I make fun of Roman.
Yeah, and he's like, where is he? And Roman's like, I don't know, doing a needle point. He's like, knocks it out of his hand.
Yeah. But seriously, I know. And like, God, it's not, I know this is silly. This is so dumb. But like, it's one thing to like, he is speaking in his second language and I'm hypercritical of his cursing and everything or whatever. But like, some people speak in their second language and are still good at cursing. Sure. Like, Gunther is just like, he sounds he's awkward and bad and like, we all just wang house, you know, like it's doesn't, it's, I don't know. It's just anyway. And yeah, he's rude to Roman. I even put in my show notes that Roman has had to like put up with social media bullying and trolling aww. And stuff now because like he's become the butt of like even casual fans' jokes.
That sucks.
Like it used to be to where you had to be like a hardcore fan to know that Roman was kind of like crashy and that like PP had a reputation. But now Roman is like known to these like, you know, Netflix fans as like a joke.
Yeah.
When he's not a joke. He's an extremely talented driver who's had 10 podiums in his career, has been robbed of 2 victories in his career, has, you know, been a Formula One driver for like 15 years. He's got a ton mm-hmm. of stuff to be proud of. And like a lot of people say that Roman is as fast as like Lewis and Max on his day, on one across one lap, one you know, day. On he his day. That. Across one lap, like Roman is as fast as anybody. And like, they don't say that about Lance Stroll and they don't say that about
yeah.
Kevin Magnussen, you know? So like, I know I was joking with you earlier, but I'll repeat myself for the sake of the fans. But like, man, Roman needs to like stand up for himself.
Yeah.
And when Gunther is like, how many cars are you going to crash this year? Roman should just be like, how many cars have you crashed, yeah. Gunther?
Right.
How many podiums have you been on, Gunther? Huh? Yeah.
That's he's right. Batman now.
Yeah, no, he's Christian Bale. But yeah, I mean, I said, Roman is the one who should be making fun of Gunther Steiner, not the other way around. Gunther Steiner is, mm-hmm. I was reading his Wikipedia earlier, he is washed up. He's been passed around from like Formula One team to failing Formula One team to failing Formula One team.
I mean, that's
team.
How he acts. He acts like that.
Like someone who's got a chip past. On his shoulder. Yes. Yeah. And like, yeah, his greatest achievement was being associated with Red Bull before they fired him. And then he was like off in the United States trying to start a NASCAR team. And then that failed
oh, really?
Too. Yeah. And then he started a business that was like some kind of manufacturing business. And then when Gene Haas wanted to start a Formula One team, he was just so happened to live in North Carolina at the time. So Gene Haas is like, well, I have this guy who used to engineer for Red Bull and Jaguar.
Can you imagine and... Gunther in North Carolina?
I know. He moved there because like he had no other business opportunities and he was offered an opportunity to start a NASCAR team. That's why he was in North Carolina.
Right.
You know, that's where his career was at. And then even that failed. And there was like a period of like a few years on the Wikipedia that were a little blank there, Gunther.
He's finding
where you
himself.
Just weren't doing anything. And I can tell you what,
should have just kept not doing anything.
If you're going to make like a parallel of like achievement between I'm going to try to be a Formula One engineer and I'm going to try to be a Formula One driver, Roman Grosjean is wildly successful compared to Gunther Steiner.
Yeah.
Analogously. So, yeah, wrecking a Formula One car occasionally is a bad thing. Wrecking a Formula One team, a little bit worse. Yeah, which is sad because Haas has just got it going really badly for them. Badly, poorly for them at the moment. But we can harp on that another time. So early season to decide Haas's future. The good news is that they usually go well in the early season and then just kind of trickle off and start doing really poorly towards the end of the season. So we'll see. Here's something that ought to pique your interest. Get you listening. Reinvigorated.
Oh.
So they changed the rule this year to where the drivers can have more than one helmet livery. They can change their helmet liveries as much
that
as they want.
That wasn't already a thing? I feel like they change their helmets every...
They were allowed to change them one time for one race.
So that's what why they're like, oh, I have a
this
new
is
helmet,
my helmet
reveal.
Right, exactly, because their helmet is kind of their helmet.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, and it used to matter because like...
Who gives
No, nobody cares anymore because it used to actually like you identified the drivers by their helmets. You know, if they didn't have numbers on the car and they weren't televised and it wasn't like, you know, you could just look on your phone like what position is so and such driver in or whatever, you know. So,
yeah.
So it's kind of like an old school rule that most of the drivers were like, this is dumb. Why do I have to only have one helmet? You know, so like Danny Ric, when he came to Austin, he had a helmet for practice that looked like a UT helmet.
That's
like
cute.
That would have been cool if he could have worn that helmet for that weekend, you know, but he wasn't allowed to. So, so that's cool. You excited about seeing some fancy helmets?
Yeah, sure. They're all pretty ugly. Most
of them are pretty ugly.
Vast majority.
Maybe we should do a helmet ranking this year. That would be kind of neat.
Well, yeah. Now it's going to be like,
well, primary helmets.
Okay.
We'll rank, you know, primary helmets.
Yeah.
Danny Ric still hasn't exposed his yet. He just keeps doing little teasers.
Ooh.
It's going to be weird and wild like it was last year. So that's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll take it.
Exciting helmets.
Yeah, sure.
You know, whatever. Now they just need to do the same thing for cars where the cars can have different liveries.
No.
You don't think so?
No, because like that is like, I don't know. I'm not going to know what car it is.
That makes
sense.
You
can't hardly see the numbers. I mean, we went to the race.
Okay.
In Austin,
so
I mean,
firmly against that.
Yeah, I mean, you could barely see the numbers.
You don't think it would be cool for even just for the two Mercedes cars to have like a black livery one week or whatever, or like
no.
a green livery? Okay, all right.
Green.
Or
get
you know
out
the
of
Patronus color, whatever color.
Patronus.
That's theirs.
Expecto Patronus.
Right.
Patronos. That's how I say it in
Patronos.
My head.
Yeah. I put on this notes because I'm a Sebastian Vettel fan because I'm selfish.
He's got
a
good helmet.
Yeah, his helmet is good.
It's probably the best helmet.
I think he actually has been one that's been more vocal about the, like, you got to allow us to, like, express ourselves via
helmets. Oh, really?
Helmets because you can
you know
tell
what?
He like, cares.
Good helmets, but bad haircuts.
Bad haircuts. He also has a really small head.
Oh, poor
so
guy.
He like looks goofy in his helmet. And now that you've now that I pointed that out to you, you're never going to be able to not notice it. Because, I mean, drivers look goofy in their helmets anyways because they're
huge. Yeah,
it's
hard to pull that look off.
Yeah, and they're, like, meant to be obviously extremely safe, so they're, like, really freaking big.
And they're wee people.
But, yeah, Sebastian's head is especially small. So you just notice the next time you look at him compared to, like, Max, who looks like Shrek or whatever.
Well, Max,
you know, like,
yeah, has, like,
yeah,
he seems like he has a giant head.
Yeah, for his stature.
He just has
large
features.
Yeah, right. Anyway. Shrekish.
Yeah.
Yes. Ogre, the word ogre.
Yeah, it does.
Poor
like
guy.
Sloth from
right.
Goonies, but more symmetrical.
Yeah, he is symmetrical. We can give him that.
Yeah.
And, you know. But yeah, so a lot of talk about Vettel like not returning next year and stuff. You know, like what's he going to do? Is the last time he was really challenged at Red Bull, he like ran away to Ferrari because Danny Ric chased him away, and now he's being chased by Charles. Will he just retire? And so all that talk.
Mm-hmm.
As a Sebastian fan, I was very pleased to read the news that he has been explicit about, like, he cares a lot about this year's car. He cares a lot about the development of the car. He wants to stay in Formula One, and he quote unquote expects his contract talks to end very soon.
As in, like, he'll just sign for
more years with Ferrari, presumably. And Mattia Binotto also said that, like, they love having Sebastian.
Yeah.
That they, which, of course, is what he would say at this point.
Right.
Be like, we're actively looking for a replacement.
Yeah. Do you know anyone? Because we're kind of.
There's nobody out there anyway, which is kind of another story. But.
Oh, well, when no one that caliber, I'm sure.
No. Max, basically, is it. And Danny Ric.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So another piece of news is they're racing. There's a couple of new races this year. One,
the Sandcastle race.
Yes, which is what I was going to talk to you about just now.
Zandvoort.
Zandvoort. Zandvoort.
Is that in Dutchers?
Yeah, it is like the Max Verstappen race. They're basically having it on behalf of Max. I know. Can you imagine? Which is cool. I mean, for him to command such...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what the word is, but, you know, he commands such attention. For yeah. You know, whatever, fanaticism, yeah. Right. Fanaticism, sure.
Enthusiasm
that, you know, they're going to have a Grand Prix in his home. And the track is very famous for being a very fun driver track, but it's one of those tracks that's old. And so it's there for, yeah.
Yeah, I remember you telling me it's like not well maintained or something. It's
well, they've fixed it up and it's ready to go, but it's... very narrow and just not designed for modern Formula One cars. So it's fun to drive, like on a simulator or just in, if you're just driving around by yourself, you're like, whoa, yeah, this track is amazing. And it has banked corners like a NASCAR track, which everyone's like really pumped about, you know, because whatever, that just like looks sexy. And yeah, like, right. Cool, you know, ooh. Formula One cars going like around a little. But anyway, so... that's kind of the news. It's just that they have this new track. Will racing be terrible there? Because it's kind of like a Monaco.
I was just about to say, it sounds like Monaco. It like is. Narrow, like fun to drive around, I'm sure. Right, but
not good to race around.
Yeah, no one's going to pass anyone ever.
Right, so that is a major concern about Zandvoort, whatever, however you say it. Because they're... really making a huge spectacle out of it. It's going to be a major, major spectacle. And you just hope it's not like a, of orange, like a total flop because of the racing.
Yeah, well, wouldn't be the first.
No. But for new tracks, yeah, you're still right. It wouldn't be the first. The other new race is in Vietnam.
Oh, which they probably,
Hanoi. They built a whole new Tilcadrome street circuit. Wow. Yeah.
Street circuit.
Where it goes partially through a city.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
Partially outside of it. And cool. So.
We should go to that race. I mean, not.
Well, maybe. Not now.
Yeah, but.
That's why
I
brought it up, is because it might be one of the races that doesn't happen.
Oh, that'd be too bad.
I know,
a new
it
race.
Would be. Because they already postponed China.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah. What are the races that they're replacing?
Well, they haven't replaced anything yet. They just postponed China. They haven't canceled anything.
Well, no, I mean like those two new tracks, like they must be replacing.
No, they're additional.
Oh.
Yeah.
More
so we
races.
Have more races.
What? Like the season's longer?
Yes, the season is longer.
Oh, come on.
I know. And they're talking about making it as many as 25 races.
No. It's like the NBA playoffs where you're just like, do they really need to play each other 7 times? And then
for like half the year.
7 times that. And then, or I don't know how it works, but I just, it's
they
like
play
a lot.
Yeah, and the NBA playoffs is like as long as the NBA season.
Yeah.
Almost. But I don't watch the NBA, so who cares? But yeah, no, you're right. A lot, there's been pushback.
Yeah.
You know, it's a toll. Short and sweet. It takes a toll. It's one thing if you're Lewis Hamilton and you get paid 46 million euros a year to race 25 times, but it's another thing if you're just like
just
a lowly
funneling
mechanic.
Funneling that straight into
kangaroo wildlife or whatever.
Proliferation efforts.
Yeah. So let's see. Vettel contracts, helmet liveries. I mentioned earlier that Ferrari might not even be third, which means obviously they won't be second, which means Honda and Red Bull should be a solid second.
That's
which
fine.
Is another story that this year might be a little too soon. Might be just really kind of not able to keep my powder dry here, but Max could, this could be a year that Max challenges for his first world championship.
That would be exciting and cool.
Right.
But I doubt it.
Why do you doubt that so much? You just don't think they can still...
I don't know anything about Formula One.
No, yes, you
to
do.
Imagine.
You know. Because they can't compete with Mercedes,
yeah.
I guess, over
I mean,
the course
Lewis
of a year.
Lewis is just like, he's on the top of his game, and he has so much to gain in performing well this year, and he's just like, I just
number
seems
seven.
Like... Yeah. And he's just like a well-oiled machine, and I mean, just all... of course there could be I feel like it would be a fluke. Like it would be something made, I don't know, something silly would have to happen to like just get him off course of, yeah.
Yeah. And here's a couple of potential flukes that could
sweet, bring, I mean, I welcome.
Yeah. So like Mercedes, although they were clearly the fastest in testing, they and their customer teams also had the largest number of engine problems in testing. Mm-hmm. And so probably it's not a big deal and they'll just get it ironed out and we won't ever talk about it again. Yeah. But if you are looking for some kind of little weakness to like poke at, you can say, oh, Mercedes had some engine reliability issues. So there's that.
Okay.
Honda has had like steadfast running our engine, highest mileage, highest power possible, which they have not been able to do yet until this year.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Because a lot of these engines, you know, you have to turn them down to preserve them and blah, 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 blah. So Honda has been like full tilt. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. So they look really good. All their customer teams too, or which is just one. But and then the second thing is if Bottas can take points off of Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. Let them just like cannibalize.
They can like nibble.
That'd be great.
At each other and finish second. You know, Bottas wins and then Hamilton wins and Max is constantly like second or third. So it's like Bottas, Max, Lewis. And then the next week it's like Max, Bottas, Lewis.
That'd be
and
cool.
Then the next week, you know.
Just play them off each other.
Right. So those two conditions could, presumably, and if Honda manages to continue at the pace they're at.
We'll
so
see.
Anyway, that's a pretty good segue into my asking you, I suppose, are you excited to watch any specific other drivers this year? I know you're excited for Charles.
Mm-hmm.
I just put most intriguing driver battles ?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I
Charles and Seb.
Charles, yeah. And Seb, yeah, I like them both. I like Charles more. I'm really interested in seeing how he does and, like, hoping he does well, like, kind of pulling for him. And but it's just kind of interesting to see how it all plays out. I do like Max, and I'm excited that he's, you know, could do well.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be a really exciting opportunity to see how good Alex Albon is, because he'll have the whole off season and now full season in the Red Bull car that he says he feels more comfortable with.
Well, of course. I don't feel very comfortable with it. I guess sometimes they say that, huh? Oh, he's about to sneeze.
Okay.
I paused his mouth.
COVID. Well, if we got it, we got it. So
we'll just keep pumping out podcast
just sit here
episodes.
Quarantined doing podcasts. So I agree with you about Charles and Seb. Very exciting driver matchup, obviously. Especially because their car just seems to not be very good, which adds a whole nother level of intrigue to that matchup and how they'll have to respond to that sort of psychologically if they're both struggling with the car all year and just where you take that. And
I
you
hope
have to like,
that's not the case.
I do too, just for the sake of the sport. It'd be great to have three teams battling for the championship. Max and Alex, really exciting. Not just because I think Max is going to have the year of his life, but I'm excited to see how good Alex is. The other one I have that I'm excited about is Ricardo and Ocon. Remember, Ocon's back in the league now, back in the on the paddock, on the grid or whatever.
Yeah.
And Ricardo, having moved to Renault, obviously, which I consider to be a career mistake, probably now looking back on it at this point, really needs to like establish himself as the leader of that team. But Ocon is extremely freaking good.
Okay.
And so we'll have the opportunity to be like, I want to beat Ricardo. Oh, and Ocon used to crash into his teammate a lot.
Oh, good.
At Force India, he was Perez's teammate, and they crashed into each other a lot.
Mm.
So that'll be an exciting story to watch, because Ocon has a reputation for, like, not getting along with his teammates.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's already
And then
been,
there's, like, Daniel Ricciardo, who's
like the most likable guy ever.
He'll probably, like, put a whoopee cushion in his seat and stuff.
I know. That's one of the things that's so likable about Danny Ric, too, is that you know that he still has that killer instinct, though, like that when the visor goes down.
He's not a goof.
And the red mist,
he's just
not a goof.
Yeah, the red
he's
mist.
He's goofy.
Just, Yeah.
He's goofy, but he's not a goof, you know?
We're apparently anti-goof here.
Yeah.
Formula Fun, despite our name.
Right, yeah. Nothing very fun about this.
You can have fun, but you have to be good at what you do.
Have a little bit of fun. Too much fun. You're having too much fun. I'm also interested in watching Signs and Norris again at McLaren.
Oh, yeah. That'll I forgot really about fun. Them. Yeah, they're just fun. Yeah, and good.
And very good. And McLaren
I
should be
McLaren
even better.
I hope McLaren does well. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, they did. So and so, yeah, I mean, and it's cool to see. I just, out of all the, like, middle teams, seems like they have the most promise, question mark?
Yeah, they do until Racing Point came along and was like, we're going to make a Mercedes. Bam.
Well, yeah, okay.
So, but yes,
I hope McLaren beats Racing Point.
There you go, because that will be their main competition, probably. Sweet. Yeah, so now you have a little rivalry there to
great.
Be excited
keep
for.
Keep me going.
And then lastly, driver-wise, I'm becoming more and more of a George Russell fan.
Yeah.
I just think he's probably extremely good, and we don't even know how freaking good he is yet because he's had to drive Williams cars.
Yeah, yeah.
And this year, if Williams is even a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
and George Russell can drive a car that's not just like a total dog, that we're going to really start to talk about George Russell as like taking over for Valtteri Bottas in 2021.
Wow, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So...
cool.
Okay, I'm going to keep you for a little bit longer, and then we'll be done. I just want to tell you a little bit about the race, and then you're going to predict who's going to win.
Okay, great.
So,
would I do worst?
This is
you
the circuit.
Me a picture.
Yeah, picture of the circuit.
There's
Albert
water.
Park. Yeah, it you surrounds a man-made lake, which is called the Albert Park Lake.
Okay.
Just south of Melbourne. Real famous attraction, this race, obviously, because it's in Melbourne.
They should race around, you know? Uluru.
I don't know what that is.
Or Ayers Rock, but they call
the big, like, red
thing.
Rock or whatever.
I think it's called Uluru.
Just a
anyway,
circle,
sorry.
Like a NASCAR race.
Yeah, just like...
So this track is, even though it looks like a racetrack sitting in this photograph, is made up of city streets.
What?
And so it's like a connection of city streets and car parks and stuff. And so it's actually technically a street circuit.
Oh, really? Yeah, it doesn't look
like it here in this iteration. But also the modern era Formula One cars are able to just take these turns at really, really high speeds.
Okay.
And so because of the narrow nature of the circuit and because of the way the circuit's laid out, very bad racing on this circuit, unfortunately.
Oh, good. Just what you want.
I know. Just what you want to start the season. So
can
not a lot of overtaking.
Worse?
Right. Oh, can we make it worse? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Let's start the season in Monaco, right?
Yeah.
So it's called the Albert Park Circuit. They do 58 laps, just some like logistics. 1996 mm-hmm. was the first Grand Prix. The lap record was set by Michael Schumacher in 2004.
Hasn't been beat since 2004.
Yeah, the cars in 2004 were monsters.
Ooh.
V10s. That was when the cars sounded like they sounded just like demon cats mm-hmm. that just like screamed. They were
I don't
insane.
Like that.
Most people do like that.
I That's... know. I'm like a cat. With that. I hear loud noises and I hide under the bed.
Yeah, the V10 era was kind of considered like the pinnacle of
and
sexy
they were like,
Formula
don't,
One cars.
No, that's too much.
Right.
Cool.
They, yeah. They really,
stuff.
Right. We got to make it more road relevant.
Those two sexiest words.
Road relevance.
Ooh.
Try to stay calm, baby.
Right.
So yeah. Anyway. So not very good racing at Albert Park. It's a fun circuit to drive, which you're probably noticing there's a little bit of like a trend there
mm-hmm.
that because it's a fun circuit to drive doesn't
yeah,
mean that there's going to be good
pole.
Racing. Right. So qualifying will be important. I kind of separated the breakdown into the top of the field and the midfield battle. It's pretty simple. Mercedes should be strong. And the question about the other two top teams will be, is Red Bull clearly second or is Ferrari
I'll be
still
interested
second?
To see. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, remember last year, this is when Valtteri won and said, don't make him sub.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
So
I
that
remember.
Was the story from last year. Valtteri was last
and
year's
then
winner.
He just...
And then he promptly started sucking again. He spoke too soon, literally.
So, it was is great.
Poor guy. Chef's poor guy. Kiss. Yeah. I don't know that saying, but is it like a curse? Chef's
kiss, you know, like.
Yeah. You know, sure.
Just perfect.
Perfect. Perfecto. Yeah. So, basically the question at the top of the field is Mercedes just going to run away with it, pole victory, and then will Red Bull challenge them for it?
Yeah.
Or will Ferrari clearly suck and not be second, not be third? Will they not challenge at all? Which transitions to the midfield battle. Haas is usually good at Australia. The track suits their car. They usually show up strong at the beginning of the year. They finished sixth in Australia last year, which was the best of the rest, you know, or better than best of the rest.
Okay.
And, but they usually, the last 2 years, they've had pit stop problems. Do you remember that from the show where they like come into the pits and they put the wheels on and the wheels fall off? Yeah,
like someone was just not. Oh, no. I just wonder, like, just one of the guys wasn't like there.
Wasn't ready.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So they've had 2 years in a row where they were running in like fourth and fifth or like fifth and sixth. And then they come into pit and then the pit stops like ruin their races.
Oh, that's always.
And so it's like this race matters as much for Haas as almost for any team on the grid because they like usually run it really well in Australia. Gene Haas has already said the beginning of the season is going to like determine our future.
Yeah.
So this is a big race for Haas. The other questions in the midfield, McLaren versus Racing Point.
Yeah.
Renault, they should be able to battle with those guys and kind of just, we'll see for the first time what the spread of the midfield teams is because this year with all of the technology kind of becoming more and more similar, it seems like all the teams should be more and more similar.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's kind of the story of the midfield too. Anyway, besides that, it might be canceled.
Yeah.
Before we learn whether it's canceled or not, let's make predictions.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear who you think is going to win. Watch out for that wine glass.
Oh.
I want you to say who you think is going to get first, second, and third in Australia. And then I want you to say who's going to win the Drivers' Championship.
What?
And I want you to say who's going to win the Constructors' Championship. Yep.
What? Oh, God. I have no idea.
Yes, you do.
Well, I mean, no one has any idea, I guess.
Well, I mean, you can make a really educated guess.
Well, I'm just going to...
So in Australia first, second, third, podium.
I feel like I'd like to see, I mean, of course I'd like to see Charles, but I'm feeling like Max. I can't say Lewis because, yeah, Hugo, I know my cat is making noises. Sorry if you can hear that. You think, okay, we can hear it. It's been confirmed. It took his collar off.
Quite all right.
Can you hear him purring?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll have to wait till the...
Yeah. Anyway, cute.
Yeah.
Our third co-host.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it'd be cool. I'm not going to say Lewis, even though, like, I guess statistically probably him. Because I want to manifest in the universe what I want to see.
Well, that's not a thing, so...
I know, but... I'm going to do it anyway.
So your prediction is Charles wins?
No, I don't think he will. I'm thinking maybe Max. I don't know. Well, I'm not good at this. I don't...
Well, this is the fun part. You get to wildly speculate. So Max victory, Lewis second. I mean, I don't want to do it for you.
I know. I want to see what happens.
Well, too bad. You have to make a prediction.
Why?
Because I said so. I'm the host. I'm putting you on the spot.
I know. You are putting me on the spot.
It's fun.
I'll Max on podium, and then it'd probably be, and then like Lewis second, and then Charles third.
Okay, that's bold. I mean, that's bold.
Most
people don't think Ferrari will finish third, but
I do.
Okay, good. Okay, so who's gonna win the Drivers' Championship
of the year?
The whole year. Who's Lewis. Gonna be champ? Lewis. And will Mercedes win the Constructor Championship? Okay, so those are pretty safe bets too.
Oh.
So I think
just messing everything up.
Do you want to hear my should I make predictions too, or should we just do Caitlin's predictions throughout the year?
No, you should too.
See how good you do. I think my heart tells me what I want to happen,
Yeah, that's...
is for Max to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that would just make the season real interesting.
Maybe you've just been, like, subtly influencing my
thoughts. Your picks. Yeah.
Because I'm like, yeah, me too. And I'm like, wait, why? Why?
I don't... Now, if I had to predict, if I were a betting man, I would say Lewis wins.
Sure.
Valtteri gets second, and Max gets third.
Yeah, I guess I just...
I feel like that's just the safe, theory, like, that's where we're at right now. Yeah,
and my guess, Bottas goes in the lake or something.
Bottas has a wreck. Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I mean, it's safely. I don't...
Right, and survives. And survives unscathed.
Of course, yeah. Just.
And then I do think Lewis will win the Drivers' Championship again, and I think Mercedes will win the Constructors' Championship again, which are not super exciting predictions at this point. But
yeah. We'll see.
We'll see. That's about it. Final thoughts? Helmet review coming up.
Yeah. Just wash your hands, guys.
Wash your hands. Sneeze on your neighbor if you don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, oh, my bad, man. I've just had a fever for... Okay, it's nope. We're fine. Probably fine.
Something I'm like fine. That.
You might want to go to the doctor. All right. Over and out. Thanks for listening. I feel like I should have a cheesy outro, but I'll do that later. Take it easy. If you made it this far and you're still listening, first of all, I want to say a genuine and heartfelt thank you. Thank you very, very much for being a fan of Formula Fun. And then secondly, I want to ask that you like it, subscribe to it, and leave us a review. Apparently those things matter. I don't know why. They just do. Make us more popular, get us more exposure, which means more episodes in your future. So if you guys could do that for us, then we'll keep doing this for you. Peace out.